And I mentioned last week that what follows in our chapter today is Jesus calling off his first disciples to follow him and to join with him in making that good news known. And we recognise that that is often a scary prospect for us, isn't it? And we fear rejection. But we saw that Jesus too experienced rejection at Nazareth. It's not necessarily is it that we're, means we're doing it wrong or badly. But also we saw that Jesus experienced acceptance at Capernaum, that people do respond to the good news. And each one of us who's trusted Jesus here this morning is evidence of that. So we fear rejection, but also we saw that we fear our own inadequacies. But we saw that the same Spirit who empowered Jesus is there for us too. But most of all, we were seeing last week, we looked at the wonder of who Jesus is. That he is sensational, not commonplace. But still we might think, me involved in making Jesus known? Me? Well, no, there are two problems with that, you see. There are two problems with that. One is my lack of ability, which we've already talked about. But secondly is the fact that I'm just so bad at following Jesus myself. I'm just not very good at it. In fact, actually, it would be little short of hypocrisy for me to call others to follow him when I'd make such a mess of it day by day. I'm just not the right stuff. Calling others to follow Jesus is something for other people to do. Not simply those who are more capable and good at it, but for more appropriate people. People who are better than me. People who are better people. Better Christians. I'm not good enough to speak to others about Jesus. God needs better Christians than me to do it if he wants it done well. Okay, let's take a listen to God's word together. We're in Luke chapter 5. We're going to read the first 16 verses, page 1032. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, "Don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So here you are. We've got Jesus down by the lake of Galilee. Gennesaret is another name for Galilee. And he's doing what he said he'd be doing, isn't he? He's preaching the good news. But in this opening story that we read in Luke 5, Luke's focus isn't so much on what Jesus says, but on what happens afterwards with Simon Peter and this miraculous catch of fish. Now, it seems to me that there is one glaring question leaping out of this from this account. Why does Simon react the way he does? He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." Now, you might well respond by saying, "Well, hang on a minute, Russell," because remember, he's an expert fisherman who's caught nothing all night, but on one suggestion from Jesus, he's got a catch so big it's threatening to sink his boat. Russell, don't let the sensational become commonplace. It's a miraculous catch of fish. It just doesn't happen like this. And Peter the fisherman knows that. Well, yes, I agree. It is a sensational miracle, isn't it?
But my question still stands. Why does Peter react like this now? Remember, it's just a matter of days, if that, since the events that we read about last week. And the casting out of a demon in the middle of the synagogue with everyone else around. And Peter, Simon would have been present for that. And then there was the healing of his own mother-in-law later that evening in his own house. High fever rebuked so completely that she was able to be up immediately and serving food. And later on that evening, you remember, villager after villager turned up at his front doorstep, and he watches Jesus perform healing after healing after healing, as well as casting out many demons. See, just in the last few days, Simon has seen some amazing things. Now, I'm not suggesting that he should be blasé about it now. Indeed, I would guess it's those amazing things that he's seen that mean he's prepared to listen to Jesus' fishing advice. Because I imagine that if anyone else had suggested, after a hard and frustrating night of work, when he is exhausted and fed up, that he just pop out and try again, that he would have probably had some choice words for them, wouldn't he? Why listen to a carpenter on that front? But Simon has seen what he has seen. He has seen miracles and he has seen exorcisms. He's seen the sensation of Jesus. And so, if you say so, I will let down my nets. So why then does Simon react like this when the miraculous catch comes in? Why react like this now? To put it bluntly, he's seen more remarkable things than this, hasn't he? Here's why, I think. Because this happens on his home territory. This happens on his home territory, and suddenly the reality of who Jesus is and who he, Simon, is, suddenly that invades his life. Suddenly it is no longer at arm's length, something for him to watch and to marvel at. Suddenly it's in his face, it's in his own backyard. Yeah, I know that healing of his mother-in-law was in his own house, but this is different. This is what he knows. This is Simon's expertise. This is fishing. This is where he is great. This is where he is king. This is where he is in charge. This is where he is good. This is his place on the boat. And with a word, Jesus comes and puts his stamp of ownership on it. With a word, Jesus comes and put his stamp of ownership on it. And all of Simon's efforts and his expertise, his skill and his experience, have yielded nothing after a hard night of work. And Jesus says, let down the nets during the day, and no one fishes during the day, and the boat is suddenly filled to the point of sinking. Jesus has owned Simon's place with a word. And Simon suddenly sees the gulf between them. And he falls on his knees and says, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. Not go away from me because I've done many sins. My behavior has been bad. No, I am a sinful man, he says. My very nature is to sin. I am broken and flawed. I don't just do and think and say what I should not do. I am what I should not do. What I should not be. There is something rotten at my core, something broken about me. And Jesus doesn't correct him, does he? Jesus doesn't turn around and say, no, Simon, don't overreact to it all. It's just a bunch of fish. You're not that bad. Now, Jesus doesn't correct him, but he does say, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do you remember how Jesus announced his mission to the world back at the beginning of chapter 4? We saw it a couple of weeks ago. It was about good news, wasn't it? It was about freedom for prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and freedom for the oppressed. It was about the reversal of situations that people could do nothing about for themselves. It was about the good news of rescue. And when Jesus invaded Simon's backyard, his fishing boat, his expertise, his place, he exposed Simon so that Simon could see himself as he truly was. That he was a sinful man in desperate need of rescue. And then he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because Jesus is good news. I suspect that many of us spend an awful lot of time worrying about being exposed. We spend a lot of time worrying that we will be exposed. We are fearful lest others find out what we are really like. We're fearful lest God find out what we are really like. So we maintain that mask of respectability, and we say that we're always fine, and we never dream of admitting our struggles with sin to anyone, not even really to ourselves, perhaps. Well, here's the truth. Jesus already knows. Jesus already knows. See, why do you think Jesus chose to step into Simon's boat to teach the people? And why, after he'd finished doing the teaching, did he choose to do this whole thing with the trip back out into deep water to get this miraculous catch of fish? Because he wanted Simon to see and to admit who he was, a sinful man, so that Jesus could say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Because Jesus is good news. But I suspect while there are some of us who spend an awful long time worrying about being exposed, there are others of us who think actually we're doing all right. We're all right, really. We're not that bad. There may even be some of us who've admired Jesus for a while, who've respected him greatly. A bit like Simon had seen the miracles and was impressed enough even to ask for his fishing advice. But we've never really owned up to our own desperate need for rescue. See, my friends, whether we will admit it or not, Jesus' verdict is clear as you read through these Gospels, as you hear what he has to say. We are all in desperate need of rescue. We're all in desperate need of rescue. And until we admit that, we remain in the greatest of danger. Because you and I are by nature rebels against God. We ignore him and we defy him. We don't love him or worship him as we should. We are sinful people. And by that, we don't mean we are naughty but nice. Not interesting rather than dull. Not basically good with the occasional slip up. That we, like Simon, are sinful people in desperate need of God's mercy and grace. And so we too need to fall on our knees before him and to acknowledge that. As Jesus confronts us with who he is and who we are, as Jesus puts his stamp of ownership on whatever it is that we might rely on. But Jesus is good news. The best news imaginable, because he does not crush us. Even as he shows us what we are really like, he does not crush us, but he looks us in the eye and he says, "Don't be afraid." Because he brings good news of great joy. Actually, he says slightly more than that, doesn't he? He says, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." Do you see a little bit of Jesus' sense of humour there? Having supplanted Simon's expertise in the fishing boat, Jesus now uses exactly that same imagery to tell Simon what he's going to do next, as he commissions him to follow him. And not simply to follow him, but to be involved in his work of making the good news known. Here's the thing. Jesus uses sinful people to make his good news known. Jesus uses sinful people to make his good news known. Not Jesus uses less than perfect people who make a slip up at time from time. People who do sin every now and then. No, Jesus uses sinful people to make his good news known. Do you see who the first person that Jesus calls to follow him and to be involved in his work is? The first one. It's the one who's just recognized his utter despair in his own goodness. He's just seen exactly who he is. He's just realized how rotten to the core he is. "Right," says Jesus, "you can work with me. Come follow me. You'll catch people." Because here's the thing. The basic qualification for making the good news about Jesus known is to recognize the need for the good news that you have yourself. The basic qualification for making the good news about Jesus known is to recognize your need for the good news yourself. So remember, we said at the beginning that we often feel inadequate to share the good news of Jesus because we feel hypocritical about it. We feel we make a mess of it all the time. Well, exactly what good news are you trying to pass on? What good news are you trying to pass on? How is it good news if only appropriately qualified and performing people are able to pass it on? How is that good news? Who's going to respond to news like that? Well, it's people who feel appropriately qualified and that they're good enough, isn't it? That's not the good news of Jesus. That's a million miles from the good news of Jesus. It's not like climbing a mountain, you know. It's not like climbing a mountain, so that once you've got to the top, then you're able to, once you've made it, you're qualified and experienced enough that you can look down and you can tell people where the handholds are so that they can haul themselves up too. You don't shout down from a position of superiority. No, you're stood on the beach alongside the other person. You're looking at the approaching tide coming in and you're shouting, grab this rope with me, and Jesus will pull us up. And he will rescue us. That's what you're doing. Do you struggle to follow Jesus and you make a mess of things on a regular basis? Are you a bit like me? Do you acknowledge your own ongoing need for rescue? Then come fish for people. That's who Jesus wants to use. You're exactly the person that Jesus wants to use. Let's tell people around us just how sensational Jesus is. Not how wonderful we are, because that would be a lie. But how sensational Jesus is. And the story that Jesus followed, that Luke follows up with, that finished our passage today, is all about just that. It's all about just how sensational Jesus is. Let me remind you of verses 12 through to 16. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Yet the news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You see, leprosy wasn't just a nasty disease, it was more than that. As an infectious skin disease, it rendered a person cut off from God's people, God's community, and God's temple. It made someone unclean. That's why the man in verse 12 asked to be made clean, not just to be healed. It's why Jesus sent him to the priest afterwards, so that then he can be reintegrated into the community and re-enter the temple. Now that sectioning off of people with infectious skin diseases, according to the Old Testament, did two things. One, of course, it protected the rest of the community from contracting the disease. But secondly, and more significantly, it illustrated again the inability of anything imperfect, anything unclean, to come near to a pure and holy God who is completely good. Simon has just fallen on his knees before Jesus, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." He might equally have said, "I am unclean." And Jesus says, don't be afraid. Because Jesus makes the unclean clean. He deals with the problem of sin and he makes people new. That's why Luke follows up with this story straight away, to illustrate the point. According to Old Testament law, anything that came into contact with what was unclean became unclean itself. So uncleanness spread, it defiled. And Jesus reaches out and touches the leper. And it works the other way. His cleanness spreads. It purifies. It cleanses. You see, Jesus is sensational, isn't he? Jesus is sensational. He makes the unclean clean. He makes the sinful man or woman new. But more than that, he does so willingly. Not begrudgingly. Out of love, not out of duty. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I am willing. Be clean. See, Jesus brings good news, and Jesus is good news because of what he does and because of who he is. That he is kind, that he is compassionate, that he is loving and gracious, that he chooses to offer mercy to those who do not deserve it. Doesn't that sound like someone you'd like to introduce your friend, your colleague, your neighbor to? Isn't he amazing? But perhaps still those nagging doubts remain. I'm just not good enough to be an advert for Jesus. I just mess it up too often. Let me tell you a story. About 3 years after all this, Simon found himself around a campfire. The worst night of his life. Everything was in turmoil. Jesus had been arrested and Simon had followed him to the high priest's house. And then someone there had asked him if he knew the prisoner, if he knew Jesus. And Simon was scared. And so he said, no, he didn't. And then a few minutes later, someone else asked him the same thing. And this time the reply was ready. No, I don't know him. Then a third time the question was asked. And with ringing certainty, Simon denied all knowledge. And a cock crowed. And Simon sat slumped in a heap outside the high priest's courtyard, tears streaming down his cheeks as he faced up to the reality of who he was and what he had done. A few days later, he was out on his boat one morning after a night of fishing in which they had caught nothing. And a voice from the shore suggested that they cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And before he knew it, the nets were breaking and the boats were in danger of sinking. And Simon Peter knew who it was. Why did Jesus choose to reintroduce himself to his disciples in John 21 in that way? Why not just shout hello? Could it be that it was for Simon Peter's benefit? Could it be that it was for Simon Peter's benefit to remind him of a similar miracle 3 years earlier on when he'd first seen his sin and where Jesus had said to him, don't be afraid. From now on you will fish for people. Later on that morning by the lake, Jesus took Simon for a walk and gave him a commission to feed his sheep. He commissioned a sinful man, a failure, to be his follower and his co-worker. See, sometimes we need to hear a lesson more than once, don't we? Sometimes we need to hear a lesson more than once because we are slow to learn and we are quick to forget. God uses sinful people to make his good news known to others. God uses sinful people who see the wonder of what he has done for them to make his good news known to other people. Good news not about how wonderful we are, but about how sensational Jesus is. And you know what? When he makes the good news known through people like you and me, he looks even more sensational too. And isn't that the point? That people see just how wonderful Jesus is. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we had the barest glimpse of just how wonderful you are, and yet we're grateful for that glimpse that you give us. Please, would you continue to show us more of your wonder and your grace towards us and towards this world? Make us so caught up with who you are that we will be prepared to run the risk of rejection or of feeling tongue-tied or of concern of what others will think in order to make you known. We're grateful for the privilege that we have of being involved in this work, that you choose to use us. Lord, frequently we think that's a bad idea, and yet it's your idea, and so it's a good one. And so we pray you would make us more and more willing to speak of the Lord Jesus to those that you place around us. Father, as we think of friends and family and work colleagues and neighbours who you have placed alongside, we're grateful for each of them. We're grateful for the friendships that we enjoy with them and the joy they bring to our lives. Lord, we long that you would use us to bring Jesus to them. We need your help to do it. And so we pray that you would work through us and through our weakness, that you might be seen to be all glorious and all powerful. And Lord, too, just as we recognize that the Lord Jesus himself often withdrew to lonely places and prayed as he went about making the good news known, make us a prayerful people, we pray. Together and as individuals, help us to be bringing friends, family, neighbors, work colleagues before you, asking that you would open their eyes to see who Jesus is and that you would strengthen us to take opportunities where they come, to point people towards the sensation who is the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you make us clean, and that in doing that you then use us as an example to the world of the way in which you are able to redeem people and make them new. Father, be at work in us and through us, we pray, that Jesus might get the glory. In his name we pray. Amen.